You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that nitty gritty told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Big net hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like them big. And I don't mind.
Good morning, fishing fans. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 98.1 FM and AM 770 in Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live from anywhere at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It is producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson of fish-florida.com.
Good morning, Real Talk listeners.
Steve.
Thanks, Debbie, for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's good having you back in the studio. How are things going with you? I know you just took a trip up to Steinhatchee, and you said it was a little chilly, huh?
I'll tell you what, the temperature difference between here and up there is tremendous, and they've got a beautiful fishery. We'll talk a little bit about it, but definitely windy and cold up there.
Yeah. Well, it feels good to be back in Southwest Florida where the temperatures have been right around 80,
yep.
Even some mid-80s
this past week. Can't beat that. It's going to be a great weekend for fishing.
Spring fishing is on the way. So I'm looking forward to our conversation, Steve, this morning, because I know we're going to be talking about boat and trailer prep, ways to do some research before fishing new waters, how to change up your retrieve when you're fishing artificials for more strikes, and more. I know we've got Dave Wester coming up at 8, useless information at 9:15, Name That Species Trivia, sponsored by Sportsman's Wholesale, for a chance to win a $50 gift card, and all the latest reports from our local guides and outfitters. So looking forward to today's show. Lots to cover.
Sounds great.
Lots to cover. And I'm sure all of the captains and guides will be calling in. Hopefully they all had a great week out on the water with those warming temperatures as well. So looking forward to hearing from them. We are coming to you live from Stan and Haney Boulevard in beautiful downtown Estero, Florida. And we'll be live on air this morning until 10 a.m. if you're not able to listen to the entire show or you want to go back and catch up on previous shows. You can just go to the ESPN Real Talk podcast page, and that's at ESPNSWFL.com. The text line is open this morning. Go ahead and shoot us a text, 239-337-3776. Let us know what you've been out there catching over the past week of these warmer temperatures. I know the freshwater bite really turned on. Those water temperatures came up 65, 70 degrees. They're actually now getting real close to 70 degrees.
Wow.
So we saw some nice bass over the course of this past week.
Yep, getting
They're
more
spawning
daylight.
More daylight. So it's definitely been a good week for fishing.
Water should warm up fast this year.
Yeah. I think so. And it looks like, looking at the weather report, which I'm going to run through here in a minute, looks like we're going to have those stable temperatures through most of this week. A little dip in the temperatures, it looks like maybe on Tuesday when it's going to get down into the high 70s.
Yep. I think our winter's over.
Yeah, I think so. We may have a little bit, you know, of a cool down here or there, but nothing like those 30, you know, temps in the high 30s that we saw, gosh, about a month ago.
Yep. Thank God they didn't last very long.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen to that. All right. So the weather and tides, I'm going to run through just real quick this morning. So for today, Saturday, abundant sunshine. I love that. Abundant sunshine.
That's perfect.
Right? High near 85 degrees. Calm winds becoming east-northeast 5 to 8 this morning. And then for tonight, Saturday night, mostly clear. Low around 63, northeast winds around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. And then for tomorrow, Sunday, sunny, high near 83, calm winds becoming west 5 to 8 in the morning. And then for tomorrow night, Sunday night, mostly clear, low around 63, west-northwest winds around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. So, Steve, do you believe in the whole theory that winds from the west, fish bite the best? Do you buy into that?
I don't know if I buy into that. I buy light winds and catching more fish. That's for sure. So I think it's going to be a great weekend. You know, no clouds, sun. Light winds would be a great sight fishing weekend for out there on the flats.
Most definitely. And yep. I think with those water temperatures coming up and those calm winds, it's always good to throw, always fun to throw top water in that situation too.
And,
yeah.
Should be a great weekend, and waters are warming up. The fish are going to be active.
Yep. Most definitely. And then as far as the tides, just going to run through these tides here real quick. As always, the tides I read off on air are for Estero Bay, Big Carlos. If you're fishing today, low tide was 4:01 this morning, and that was negative 0.9. And then high tide is 8:28 this evening, and that's just right around 2.5 feet. So your best moving water is going to be this morning, fishing that incoming from now until about 10:30 or 11 a.m. And then after that, the water just basically creeps in.
Very
so
slow.
You
incoming.
Might want to head up the river or basically chase that tide to get another hour, hour and a half of the tide somewhere else. And then for tomorrow, we've got, let's see, low tide is going to be right around 5 a.m., 4:59, and that's negative a foot. And then you've got your high tide at 1:37 in the afternoon, and that's just shy of a foot and a half at 1.5. So fishing tomorrow right around 7 a.m. until about 11:30 or 12 is going to be your best bet. So that's the weather and tides. We don't have any red tide report, which is always good. So no Carina brevis observed.
Great weekend to get out and go. Take
good.
The kid fishing.
Amen. Amen. And we are actually going to head straight on over to the phones because we have Nick Davis with 239 Flies standing by. Let's grab his call. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Captain Debbie, Captain Steve, how are we?
Hey, good morning, Nick.
We're doing good. We're doing fantastic. How are you? How are things at 239 Flies?
They are very fuzzy and very well indeed.
Not too much to complain
about this week. Definitely driving home this morning, listening to the tide report, looking at the complete lack of clouds in the sky. Knowing that the water temperature is starting to creep up, this weekend is a good weekend to go. Finally,
amen, so, amen.
It's been
get out
I feel
there.
Like it's been since early or late December since we've had a good weekend or a good bout of weather to go get after it. So if you're sitting here listening to this, maybe think about throwing the boat in the water here in about 32 and a half seconds.
Yep, definitely sounds like a good plan.
But not too much going on in 239. However, I do have very big news. There is a lot going on at our new fly shop.
Your new fly shop? Oh, my gosh.
New fly shop.
You heard it here first. Is this breaking news? Or did you already post it on social media?
No, I have not. I have posted a teaser on social media, but not. This is official news.
Oh my gosh! You heard it on Real Talk Radio first.
We are opening 828 Flies in Seven Devils, North Carolina, and we are hard at work to get that ready. We are sending our very own Brian Eldridge, who, if you've stopped in the shop over the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, because we just had a 4-year anniversary.
Wow.
You would have seen him. He's the one that looks like Kid Rock. him and his girlfriend, our fiance, are moving up to North Carolina, and they are going to he is going to captain the ship. So
how
very
cool is that? Congratulations, Nick and crew. That is just too awesome. So where in North Carolina did you say this is going to be?
It's in a little town called Seven Devils.
Okay.
It's going to be about a 1,900 square foot retail store on the bottom. We've got a beautiful little 1,100 square foot residential space on top. It's a 2-story building, cute as a button, and it overlooks Grandfather Mountain from the deck that we are going to build out front and eventually have fly tying nights outside underneath the lights at some point, hopefully in the first year, but we'll see where it goes. It's always one of those things where, we've done this twice now, and it's a matter of just get open, just start adding things and go from there. You don't have to have an end result in mind when you when you start, it's more about the journey and the process than it is the destination. So
that
we
is
got some ideas. We got
cool.
some building blocks. We're going to hopefully open up, do a little soft opening early April, and then a grand opening party late April. So
right in trout country. So for everyone needs a little bit of a break from the heat this summer into fall, there you go. Just head up to North Carolina and go check out. You said it's going to be it's 8 to 8 flies.
Eight to eight flies and outfitters. Yep, it's in Seven Devils, North Carolina. It's actually about 20 minutes from Boone. Beautiful little part of the country. Absolutely beautiful. James, the other gentleman who owns the shop with me, one of my best friends, he has some roots up there, and we went and checked it out a couple of times over the summer. He's like, man, there's fly fishing up here, and it's beautiful, and we're only in saltwater. We should really think about this. And I'm like, I don't know, buddy. Like, tarpon are pretty cool. So went up and played with brown trout again and fell in love with the mountains again. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
All right, we can expand our inventory. So we're going to add the freshwater side of it. We're going to add a freshwater shop.
Nice.
And it's, yeah, pretty excited about it. Pretty fun. So last year when I said, nope, didn't fish this week, yeah, it's been, we've been hard at work getting a fly shop ready a couple of states away. So
gosh, that's so exciting, Nick. So you guys will have a separate website and everything for the shop up there?
No, we're actually going to keep it. We're going to keep the same website. It'll be on 239flies.com. If you type in 828flies.com, it takes you right to 239flies.com. And if you ever wonder which area codes we're looking at to possibly open another shop, all you've got to do is type that area code flies.com and it'll take you to 239flies.com.
Always one step ahead of things. Love it.
Well, you know,
love it.
I mean, I'm not going to take credit for that. That's certainly, our old captain used to call James and I Pinky and the Brain, and he called James the Brain, or he called me Pinky because I was not the brain. So I will, nod to James for looking out for us. But yeah, it'll be on the same website. We'll just have a lot more stuff on it.
Well, very cool. And I know we're looking forward to Saturday, March 12th, casting clinic at 239 Flies with Joe Mahler. And that's going to be
Debbie Hansen.
Yes, I will be there as well, most definitely. And then, Nick, what's the scoop from the guys at the shop? What's the reports that are coming in from off the water? Have you talked to any of the guys that have been out this past week?
I actually have a little bit of a fishing report for you. So,
awesome.
Captain Chris Connett and Kevin Pileski. And let's see, it was also Captain David. We're down in very South Florida this week. They're still there now, doing a little camping in the woods. They're on some tarpon, some big tarpon. We're starting to kind of show up a little bit in a couple of spots, but they caught some redfish. They caught some snook. Saw Kevin hooked up to his first 100-pound tarpon. They're way south. I think they're camping in Flamingo and fishing all over the Florida Strait. So we're still a little ways away from it here, but fun to see that fishing is arriving. And then Courtney and I had plans to fish 2 days ago. We were going to run the traps for some triple tail and fish the beach, but the boat had other ideas. So we scratched a juvenile delinquent itch of mine and went pond hopping in private neighborhoods in Marco Island, and could not have had a more fun time doing it. Caught her, which I don't recommend. I'm just kidding. That whole part. We did go pond hopping in Marco. caught one nice snook. She caught her first snook on her new rod, which is always fun. Nice, about 24-incher. And as you know, there is just something really cool about catching a snook in a pond, in a freshwater body or a freshwater body of water. So,
Pretty
fun.
That's, yeah.
Pretty fun.
Absolutely. So, did you guys get any big bass? Because right now is the time.
Right now is the time to catch big bass.
Is the time to catch big bass. So any big bass on topwater poppers or what else did you guys see?
We didn't catch any. I didn't see any bass in there. We saw a bunch of tilapia.
Yeah.
And we actually saw quite a few snook, which was really fun. Was looking for the tarpon. Didn't see the tarpon. But No, that's a good point. Late spring, early spring, spring's bedding season. So
yes, it is.
Definitely might think about taking a little walk down some shoreline or down some lake lines here very shortly. That's a very good point, Captain Debbie.
You got to make that happen, Nick. Get Courtney out there to catch her a big old bucket mouth on fly.
What size rod are you typically throwing on those, Nick, in the freshwater area?
You can get away with throwing anywhere from, I say this, you can throw a 5, anywhere kind of up to a 7. You know, you can throw an 8, but it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. Throwing an 8 at a, you know, even a 2 or 3 pound bass, an 8 weight just kind of overpowers. I really like throwing my 6 weight, when I'm walking the beach, or if I'm walking, I like to throw the 6 weight or fishing a freshwater lake. You know, most of the time there's not the obstructions in the lake to get you tangled. There's not the obstructions on the beach. You know, if you hook something monstrous, you've got, you know, 150 yards of backing, you know, that should be good. and then just catching fish on a smaller rod. It's just fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know you were going quite that light. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It definitely makes it fun. But Nick, we've got Captain Barry standing by online too. So, we'll let you go. We'll catch
Barry
up with you.
Said hello.
We will absolutely do that, and congratulations again on 828 flies.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Thank you.
The exclusive on Real Talk Radio. And we'll catch up with you next Saturday morning.
Give you a shout next Saturday. You guys have a great week.
Thanks,
right.
Nick.
See you,
take
Nick.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Nick Davis with 239 Flies calling in. Some really exciting news.
Yeah.
Super fantastic.
Pretty cool.
And awesome. So happy
shop.
For him. Yeah. And let's hop over to line 2 and grab Captain Barry Kuda. Hi, Barry. Good morning. How's things?
Good morning. Happy Saturday. They're fantastic. And hi to you, Nick. I know he's listening.
So
yeah,
Barry.
Hi to everybody I know because they're all listening.
Yeah. You have a report for us this morning? Let's hear it.
I do. It's been a good week. My charter calendar has just been filling up. I've been fishing doubles and singles and just busy as a one-armed paper hanger. It's been great.
Well,
the fishing's been spotty.
Good.
It goes back and forth between real good and just great. So it's overall good. But I had fun this week. I had a couple of children on board. And one, I even let him push the throttle on the boat gently forward until we were doing all of 5 miles an hour. He was just in heaven. This is up in the tower, mind you, so he's king of the world at this point. And they caught some first fish and all that kind of stuff, and the big thrills, reeling in a ladyfish, reeling in a trout. And then the wife of the client yesterday had never fished and didn't think she was really into it. But she caught some nice fish and had a real good time, and we saw some cool things. The puffer fish was the star of the day. We caught a spiny puffer. Actually, we caught two, and it was awesome. But she really listened and learned, and she was casting just about like a champ by the end of the day. I said, next time we'll move you up to working on the finer points of two-handed casting and this kind of stuff. But I enjoy the coaching. You know, my first career was as a teacher, and I liked learning, but part of liking learning is I like turning around and teaching it to people. So I've had a blast teaching people about fishing, casting, figuring out where to fish, all that kind of stuff. So it's been a blast. It's been a good week.
Yeah. So what about trout and redfish, Barry? What are you seeing out there right now?
I am not catching many of those. A couple of trout, a couple of redfish, and one was a 28-inch, 8-pounder, beautiful fish, great fight. And, of course, it's the perfect fight. Drag is screaming, and then you get them closer to the boat. And then drag is screaming, and every moment of the fight, you really have serious doubts that you will ever see this fish eye to eye. I call that the perfect fish. When you do see eye to eye, you have your come to Jesus meeting, and you thank him before you release him, but you get that great picture. Those are the big ones, and we had some real good ones of those. And then there was the one about a 3-foot across stingray that we never quite got him on board, and I was going to get a picture of him, but he finally broke off after almost an hour, and the client was kind of relieved at that point that he broke off because it had been a long fight. He was getting tired, and he sucked onto the bottom a few times, And it's like being snagged. There, you know, nothing moves. And we actually moved up at one point, and I reached, you couldn't see him, but I reached down with the boat hook and poked him. So he moved because he was tired. He didn't want to move. And I said, okay, you're tired. Come to the boat. We can unhook you. But the memo didn't get across.
Yeah. So Barry, what have you been using primarily? You still using shrimp mostly when you're out there fishing with your clients?
Yeah, it's the magic miracle bait. You know, everything eats shrimp and everything likes it and they're eager. And as I tell the clients, one thing I like about saltwater fishing is you know right away if they're even there or not. They're aggressive and hungry all the time. And slack tide is no stop. They still feed at slack tide, the big ones. So, yeah, shrimp on a jig. And interestingly, and I passed this on to my clients, I tried using squid in the backwater at one point because they're the same fish we catch offshore. They won't touch a squid in the backwater. They're just not interested. But you go 2 miles offshore, and they're on fire for squid. But shrimp, they love it inshore and offshore. So squid is the magic bait.
Shrimp is the magic bait.
Yeah, yes. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Shrimp is the way
to go. You didn't see that great white floating around out there, did you, Barry?
I saw that. I saw that video footage.
I did not.
Wouldn't that be cool to see that with your customers on the boat? That would be awesome.
Oh, that would. That would. Well, we did see a lot of cool stuff. Roseate spoonbill, a sea turtle several times in the backwater. Manatees are around still. But, yeah, that great white would be a real capper to their experience, and we'd have to send pictures home of that. But everything else has been showing up.
Well, that's great. Thanks for the report, Barry. We appreciate it. We have got to head off to a break, but we will hopefully catch up with you next Saturday.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, Barry. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Catch up with you then.
See you,
bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right. First break of the morning. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Captain Bobby sitting all alone. Corner of the bar, just a minding his own. Young tourists are tickling their bones. Bones down, funny bones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I am in the studio this morning with my special guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson of fish-florida.com.
Good morning, good morning.
Hey, Steve, good morning. Did you break into that breakfast? You guys got a breakfast croissant or a croissant-wich, I believe is the term. Isn't it, Rick? Isn't that what we coined the Captain Greg croissant?
Yeah, I think we officially dubbed it the...
delicacy.
The omelet?
Croissant-omelet.
Croissant-omelet.
It was the croissant-omelet.
Croissant-omelet, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to need to get into mine because I see a note on it that says I need to get at it.
Hey, when Captain Greg gives you directions, you follow him.
There are multiple courses involved this morning.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, got to follow the instructions.
And I know he is actually going to come into the studio to do a live fishing report after Dave's segment. So we'll look forward to having Captain Greg Stamper here live.
Fantastic.
In the house. And just a reminder, you can head on over to the Real Talk Radio Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ESPN Real Talk Radio if you want advance notice of who we're going to have as guests coming up on the show. Next Saturday, we're going to have author Murray Richter all the way from Texas live here in the studio. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. He's written a couple of books for teens on fishing.
Oh.
And he does some programs with kids in hospitals where they go in and teach them to tie knots, while they're, you know, in the hospital beds encourage them to learn some fishing skills so that when they get better, they can get out there on the water and catch a few fish. So
enjoy some fishing.
Look forward to talking to him about that. You can find me. I'm on Instagram at SheFishes2, and that's the number 2. And Steve, I know folks can reach you through fish-florida.com, correct?
That's the easiest way. Yeah, fish-florida.com, where we've got all the tournaments and events happening all over the state of Florida.
Awesome stuff. So let's talk a little bit about boat and trailer prep. I know that you had to obviously get out the trailer, put the boat on the trailer, and do a lot of prep to head up for your trip in Stein Hatchie last week. So, tell us a little bit about your adventures.
I ended up to Stein Hatchie last week. I wasn't on the show. I was up there fishing in that area around Keaton Beach and Stein Hatchie. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. I didn't personally tow my boat up. My boat sits on a lift typically, but I do trailer it a lot all over the country. You know, when we go on redfish tours and things like that. But we actually used a friend of mine's skiff that was up there already. And, you know, we had towed it. We only had to go about 10 miles down to the ramp. And that short little 10 miles, we lost a bearing on it. So kind of the key to the situation is being prepared. So even when we trailer boats, I write a little list together before I even leave the house to make sure that I have the right things with me, whether I'm trailing it for overnight or if I'm just trailing it for the day or something like that. You want to try to have the right things in your vehicle with you, because it never happens at a good time, whether it be a flat tire or a bearing or whatever might happen.
Nope.
It's never a good time, never a good place. We were fortunate. We were able to actually limp it into a little parking lot where we could work on it. But the simple bearing change turned into quite a job because the back race had actually melted itself onto the spindle and was... We ended up having to take a cut saw and actually cut that back race off of it and kind of mess the spindle up and was able to finally get another bearing on it. But the fortunate thing is we had the right tools with us to be able to do that. And if you don't, you're going to pay dearly. We actually had called, we both had Towboat US and we have trailer towing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at a lot of time. It's money. Believe it or not, you have to pay up front. In some cases where you pay the tow truck driver and to move that boat 10 miles back to where we brought it from was almost $400. But now we would be reimbursed from Towboat US on that. So that's a great thing to have as well. So if you don't have towing insurance, it's something you want to think about. But being able to change a lot of that stuff while you're out on the road is a great feature to be able to do that. So if you're any mechanically inclined, you can learn how to do it. It's not that hard, but having the right tools, having that hydraulic jack, having a good four-way wrench, not the lug wrench that comes under the seat of your car or your truck, having an extra spare bearing, a full hub with the bearings rather than having to change the bearings out of the hub,
mm-hmm.
have a full full hub with the bearings in it, and having a little bit of grease sometimes can really save your day.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice, Steve. And that was just, I mean, so you didn't even trailer your boat up there. That was just the 10 miles from your friend's place to the ramp.
Right, right. He was up in Perry, and we trailered from a hunting camp in Perry down to a boat ramp in Keaton Beach. And that bearing, you know, we were backing the boat down, and I got out of the truck, and I said, man, something's burning. And so we walked back to that trailer, and that hub was just smoke coming off of it. It was red hot. It was just in that short distance how bad it was. And we had looked at it a couple of days before, my fishing partner had, and it was fine. It's just one of those things where that bearing had gone bad, and it just goes bad in a heartbeat, and there's just nothing you can do about it. Now, you do want to have your trailer serviced as often as you can, especially if you're into salt water. You're backing these trailers in and out of salt water.
Yeah.
When you bring them back, it's really important to rinse that good. Let it cool down. Never rinse it when it's hot, but we'll let it cool down. Get underneath there, rinse those axles off. You got to kind of climb under there a little bit, get the backside of those hubs, get the backside of those axles, and your brakes. Typically, some of the a little bit larger boats all have brakes on the axles, so you want to keep those clean. Every time you back it back out and put it away, make sure you're rinsing that down and cleaning it really good. I even take salt away, and I take once I've rinsed it, I'll take salt away, spray it down really good, let that salt away sit for a little while, and then I'll rinse that out. And then actually when it dries, my trailer guy says take it for a quick spin down the block, take it back, and then I'll spray it with a little oil. Now, it seems a little bit extreme, but here again, there's nothing worse than having trailer problems on the road. It's just a nightmare.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think always inspecting those tires, too, is so important. I check mine before every single trip. And checking, you know, also my trailer lights. I mean, the thing is with trailer tires, too, for folks who maybe are coming back down for season, a lot of times those tires will rot from the inside out. So the tires can look good from the outside, but you may have a problem inside the tire. So I think having those tires checked all the time, putting them through the inspection, and if they're 5 or more years old, just get them replaced.
Yeah, most tires wear out from age, not from tread loss like your typical truck or vehicle tires do.
Yep, and you're right. Those bearings and the seals are trouble prone, so have those serviced and packed with fresh grease and capped with a bearing protector if you can before a long trip, for sure.
Yeah, and if you're not real mechanically inclined, just try to keep it clean and then try to get it into your trailer guy, you know, at least once or twice a year. Just have them check it. You can also check it by just pulling on the wheel. If that bearing's a little bit worn, you'll feel that wheel kind of rock back and forth a little bit. If it does that, that bearing's going bad. So that's an easy way to tell sometimes that bearing's going out on you.
Yeah, yep, and I know, geez, those trailer lights, at least for me, for a while, they seemed like of them was always going out. And I was always having to replace a bulb or fix a wire or anything, something along those lines. So always want to check those before you get on the road, too. And I've got to give a shout out to Boatmaster Trailers because they've taken
awesome company.
Great care of me over the past couple of years.
They're a great sponsor with us with CCA. They're a big follower with us.
Yep, definitely. And then checking the rating of your vehicle hitch and your tow ball, I think, is important too. Making sure that they'll handle the weight of your boat, making sure that anything you've got in your boat is evenly distributed.
Right. And make sure the stuff that's in the boat is secure. You know, you see all this stuff. You see
that's
coolers
really
and seats and chairs laying alongside the road. You see people running down the road and their T-top or their fold-up top is just flapping in the wind. That's just hard on it. You know, take the time. You know, once you've pulled out of the ramp, get out of the way, clear the ramp area, and secure that stuff down, put it away, make sure your boat strap's on. It is a requirement to have that boat strapped to the trailer, so take the time to do that. Secure everything that's in it so it doesn't blow out, so it doesn't blow into another vehicle or something that's following behind you. All those little things need to be done before you even leave the ramp or before you leave the house.
Yeah, I think we've got a collection of about 20 beach towels at home because Greg comes up Bonita Beach Road on his way home after being on the water all day, and he'll see all these beach towels that just fly out of people's boats and end up on the side of the road. So
it's amazing how much wind goes through there. Cooler lids will fly off.
Yeah.
You know, it's life jackets, all kinds of stuff. So it doesn't take a lot of wind to funnel down through that boat and throw that stuff out. And you know, you don't want that flying out in front of a car that's falling behind you.
No, absolutely not. That could create an issue, most definitely, as far as visibility. If it goes over the windshield, that would not be good.
As well as you probably could be held liable for it if you cause some damage. So,
yep. Yeah, for sure. Well, Steve, I wanted to talk, too, a little bit this morning about doing some research before you go out to fish a new area. So, you know, you traveled last weekend, you went up to Steinhatchee, and you've been up there a few times before.
Yes, been up there several
times. So you
know that
area fairly well, but when you're getting ready to head to a new fishing location, you're fishing a different part of the state that you haven't fished before, let's talk about a few tips and suggestions as far as some trip pre-planning and research that folks can do before they actually even launch the boat and get out on the water.
Yeah, here again, when you're trailing a boat a distance, it's a little bit of a job. So you want to be kind of have a heads up on things. We'll use Google Earth. That's probably your best friend. Doing the research before you ever even leave the house, you know, even the week before. We'll do so much as actually I'll research the parking lot of the hotel or wherever I might be staying so that I can tell. I look at the roads. how I can get in and out with that trailer. The worst thing you want to do is get down into a road or a parking lot or somewhere and get in there where you can't get turned around, or you got to try to back up in a crowded area. So research the place where you're going. Then I'll research the ramp area, you know, where I'm going to put in at. And I want to see, you know, what's around there, what their parking situation is. Especially if you've got a boat, you know, with a tandem axle, it's got some length to it or something like that. It's not quite as easy to move around. So you don't want to have to be learning that when you're first pulling up there. So we'll research all this at the house before we even leave, looking at the ramp. And then I'll start looking out into the water areas with the Google Earth. We look for, you know, the dips and the trenches and different areas that we want to try to work. We kind of create ourselves a little game plan on where we're going to go. Having the right charts and navigational chips in your navigational system in areas, particularly up in Steinhatchee, that area is notorious for rocks.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose a lower unit in a heartbeat up there if you don't know where you're going. The tide swing up in that area is tremendously different than what we have here locally in Southwest Florida. They typically have 3 to 4 foot tide swings on an average day. Their tides are about every 5 hours up there, so their tides move fast and quick, and you can get hung up easy. And like say, having the right navigation, whether it be a Navionics chip or a Florida Marine Tracks chip, whatever it might be, the Florida Marine Tracks has a big advantage. They have a lot of routes that actually can be run at different tides, so they'll show you those routes and kind of keep you safe away from the rocks and things like that. But all of that needs to be researched and kind of prepped before you ever even leave the house so that you're ready to go. Putting your game plan together so that when you get out there, you're not going spending 30 minutes or an hour trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's really, really fantastic advice, Steve. I know that when you're looking at a lot of these waterways and you're using online satellite maps like Google Earth, it's amazing the detail of what you can actually see. And now the way Google Earth has the street view, they actually have a water view. So, I mean, you can get really granular and zoom in and see things like, you know, oysters and barnacles on seawall. I mean, it's seawalls. It's amazing how detailed you can actually get with some of that stuff. And, you know, you've got to kind of put together a general game plan and then kind of narrow down your options in terms of what you think, which areas you think are going to be kind of your best starting points. And then once you get out there on the water, you can narrow it down even further. I mean, I'm sure you use a lot of search baits when you get out there just to really try to figure out and narrow it down in terms of the areas that those fish are really holding to.
Right. And we do a lot of sight fishing up there. Their water is crystal, crystal clear up there. They're really fortunate to have such good water up there. It is very shallow. So a lot of the fishing up there is sight fishing. So we're looking for those fish off in the distance, standing up on coolers or platforms. And that's a big thing up there is sight fishing. But we do use a tremendous amount of search baits almost anywhere when we first go to an area.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's nice when you've got those clean water conditions and
Yeah. You
can really see the bottom composition and where the fish are. All right, we're heading off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
My baby's been wishing that I'd take her fishing, so we waited on the perfect day. Hitched up my old John boat to see if it would still float. Should have seen the smile on her face.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Man, it's a hot one. Like 7 inches from the midday sun.
Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio, where fishing is life.
Yes.
This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with Captain Steve Johnson of Fish Dash Florida. Text line's open. Go ahead and shoot us a text, 239-337-3776. We've been talking boat and trailer prep, ways to do some research before fishing new waters, and we've got all kinds of great stuff coming up in terms of useless information, name that species trivia. We got Dave coming up here shortly. And we've got Captain Jim Fortman standing by on line one. So I'm going to go ahead and grab his call here, see what he's been up to down in the 10,000 Islands. Hey, Captain Jim.
Hey, Debbie. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, Jim.
What's going on in your neck of the woods, Captain Jim? Give us the scoop. What's the fishing report?
Well, it's all over the place right now. The waters have been stable for about the last week, which is kind of nice.
Yes.
They're holding right in the 74 to 76 degree range, depending on where you're at on the flats.
Mm-hmm.
The big fish are moving in, as we discovered this week. A lot of tarpon are starting to head off the coastlines.
Wow.
They're trickling in, which is really nice, especially looks like they're coming in early. Sea trout kind of scattered out because we've got a number of sharks start moving in, which usually follow the tarpon. And the redfish started biting this week. So it's also been a mixed bag with large snook. So if anybody's using any chunk baits out there, please handle the snook with care. They are coming in and breeding right now. Snook season is set to open on March 1st. So the ones we've been seeing this week have been well over slot.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear that things are turning on down there, Captain Jim. Yeah, and I know. Just as a reminder to folks, snook does remain catch and release in state waters from State Road 64 in Manatee County, south through Gordon Pass and Collier County, and that's through August 31st of 2022. So Captain Jim is south of Gordon Pass.
That's why everybody comes down and visits him.
That's why everybody, exactly.
They do come down in droves.
Yeah.
You know, you got just pristine water conditions right now. I did hear a report out of the Marco area where the water is turning gen clear. So you might have to lead her down up there, but down south, we're fishing between 20 and 40 pound leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what we can get away with clear water that we have been having. The trout are biting on pretty much any color you throw in, from chartreuse to brown right now. Just, like I said, depends on the quality of water where you're at. It's because we do have mud flats in our area.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fishing around mud, you want to use some darker colors. And if you're fishing on the coastline, you want to use lighter colors. The fish are pretty much scattered all over the place. We do have an incoming tide this weekend, and it has been quite productive. We're seeing all kinds of fish move in. It's just literally this week has gone from 15-pound gear right to the 40-pound gear.
Cool. Have you heard
time
anybody
to
about
be, time to beef it
it's
up,
been
right?
One of them weeks down here.
what are you seeing as far as size on the redfish, Jim?
We're seeing literally from 16 inches all the way up. I had a client lose an absolute monster. We don't see too many of these in the area, but we lost one that probably was pushing close to 40 inches this week.
Wow.
You know, it was just one of those ones that was not expected.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the head is a little over 12 inches wide, you kind of get a little nervous. You know, and you're like, when the fish is so big, it can't get underneath the trees. It's a big fish. So, and it wound up, you know, those bigger fish are smarter than your average smaller ones. They know how to grind their face into the mud and
those
oysters get you cut off. So,
We had
a lot of lost fish. I'm not going to sugarcoat it this week. We had a lot of lost fish this week. I can say that by Wednesday, I was like, okay, I am ill-prepared.
And Jim, have you still been using shrimp or cut baits? What have you been throwing out there?
Well, everything is working. Cut baits for the larger fish,
that's
basically what they've been hitting. If you're lucky enough to go out and spend about an hour or two to get some mullet, you know, and try and track down some mullet, those are working really good as well. Artificials are still working really good. 3-inch paddle tails. The bait is still very small in my area, and we are still on a crab hatch. So shrimp is still a great bait to just get out there and, you know, if you want to get instant action, get up, get you about 6-7 dozen shrimp, find you some corners. Shrimp tip jigs are really good ways to find fish right now. You know, and once you find, like, if you're looking for sea trout, you find one or two sea trout, there's probably another 30 or 40 underneath them. So, same thing on the outside, the whiting, they're still around out down all along the coastline. The Pompano are starting, they're getting in back into their groove, you know, where they're moving back and forth on the sand on the outside. When you can get on the outside, we have actually had some pretty strong southeast winds down south this week, so it has made it a little difficult if you're in a smaller boat to fish the outside. But the winds are pretty much laid down. I was on my way to the market, which is where I'm at today. Saw about 7 boats, so it's, you know, if you haven't already gotten in line at the boat ramps, you might be waiting a little.
Yeah. Yep. So. Today might be one of those days to go to your most remote secret spot, because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of boats out there on the water this morning.
Yeah. No, like I said, I passed 7 of them on the way down to the market today, and I was like, wow, everybody got the word out. You know, it's that time of year. It looks like spring is really knocking on the door. You know, it looks like that weak front is really going to be really weak this week. We got fair winds until the last report I saw was until Wednesday, so that's going to be really nice.
You hear anybody going out for permit, Jim?
It's about that time. You know, we got in a permit a couple weeks ago, so they came in real shallow.
Really?
And they're probably going to be some on the nearshore wrecks. You know, they're spooky animals, so if you're not first on those nearshore wrecks, you know, if you show up around 11 o'clock expecting to see them, they might be a little shy. They're probably down there. I would tell you that to head further south, if you're going for the near shores, anywhere from 15 to 45 feet of water is what I've heard where the permit are going to be at if they're going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So, they throwing crabs at them probably mostly?
Which in my area, that's 9 to 14, 15 miles out.
So, gotcha.
Yeah. Well, great tips, Captain Jim. Thanks for the report. We definitely appreciate it. We got to head off to another break this morning, but
tell everybody come on down and see me. I'm at the Vanderbilt.
Head on down to see Captain Jim Fortman at the Vanderbilt Farmers Market today. You're there till what time again, Captain Jim?
I'm here until 1 o'clock, answering questions and you know, the usual fishing talk. So come on down. Ladies, drop your husbands off. I'll be happy to entertain them for the time that you're walking around down here.
Well, the ladies might want to talk fishing too, Jim. Come on now.
Oh, I know. I've had a couple of lady anglers out this week.
All right. Have a great weekend, Jim. We'll catch up with you next Saturday. You take care.
You too, guys.
Okay.
Thank you. Tight lines.
Bye.
See you, Jim.
Tight lines. That is Captain Jim Fortman. We're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Little bitty girl, my grandpa took me Sunday fishing at the river where I caught catfish by the dozen, and everyone was buzzing about the girl with the fishing rod.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.